In the beginning, again and again and again. We can just say that over and over. Wow, can you think about what a time it will be when God pours out the Spirit on all of us, on you and me, on all flesh? It will be a time of great spiritual renewal, a time of rejoice and a time of reversal, a time of reunion and communion, a time of fireworks and smoke, the coming of the kingdom of God. You see, we should be praying for that time each and every Sunday that we gather together, each and every time we gather for worship, no matter what day it might be. We say from Matthew's Gospel each Sunday, verses 9 and 10, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we say something that says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come. We ask for that kingdom to come, but do we truly know what that means, or do we truly think about it? You see, the prophets throughout all the ages have painted for you and I word pictures of the kingdom of God. Some of them are most beautiful, and some of them are kind of tragic. Some of them are violent and stinky and dirty, but some of them are very beautiful. In our scripture here today, Joel is no different. Joel doesn't stop with graphics of death and destruction, but moves on to paint an up-to-date picture of God's kingdom for the people of his time. You see, according to Joel, the kingdom of God affects the whole of creation. It is a restoration of the way things were in the beginning, back in that first garden. You know, that Garden of Eden, there will be food and wine enough for all, it tells us. In the scripture today, it says that there will be plenty of food where all the destruction had been, it'll be, and the vats will overflow with wine and oil. It will be enough. Remember that Adam, because of his sin, was condemned to struggle to eat enough, to get enough to eat for he and his family, when food was just there so freely given in the garden. Now, once again, because of God's great love for us, for His graciousness, we shall all eat in plenty. Not anything that we have done, but what God has done. You see, in the kingdom of God, which Joel sees as Israel restored, it says, "My people shall never again be put to shame." He says, "My people shall never again be put to shame." Remember once again that garden of beginnings. You see, Adam and Eve were naked, and they were not ashamed. They had no reason to hide for God and from Him until they had sinned. You see, you think about that. Adam and Eve were naked in the garden. They were not ashamed, and they had no reason to hide. But what happened to them is something that I think happened, and I remember years ago a man by the name of Louis Grizzard, who was a Georgia boy and wrote a lot of stuff, and he was hilarious, he was funny, but he also was a mess. But he also said, "There's a difference in this world between being naked and naked." He said, "When you are naked, you have no clothes on." He says, "But when you are naked, you don't have any clothes on and you're up to something." So guess what? I believe that today. What Louis Grizzard here, Adam and Eve, they were naked running around. They were finding heavy clothes on. But after a while, they are hiding from God. And that's when the sin had come in, because they had eaten that apple and all of a sudden they were aware of everything around them. And all of a sudden they were hiding from God, so they were naked. They were naked in the Garden of Eden because they had a reason to hide, because they had sinned. Now God wipes that slate clean. People are freed from the stain of shame and can begin again, this beginning again. You see, in the kingdom of God, God walks with creation. It says in 27 verse 8, it says, "You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel." He says, "You know that I'm here." God walked with Adam and Eve in that early garden. God moved in close relationship with all of humanity. Now in salvation, God walks again in the midst of God's people. You see, in the kingdom of God, there are no distinctions that separate any of us. God's Spirit is poured out on all flesh, it says, on all of us. Did you hear that? All flesh, each and every one of us. Traditionally, the prophets were wise and old, but Joel tells us today that God will pour His Spirit of prophecy on young men. Traditionally, the prophets were male, but Joel tells us today that, guess what? God will pour out the Spirit of prophecy on women. I say, thanks be to God. Traditionally, young men were the dreamers of the culture. The elders were of those who had held steadfast to all the conservative traditions. But Joel tells us today that God will cause old men to dream dreams, to think young again. Traditionally, the slaves, the servants, oh, they were not considered worthy of God's concern. People just ignored them because of who they were, where they come from. Many of them were from different areas. Many of them looked differently. Many of them talked differently. Many of them were from other places. They had a different color of skin many times too. They were not considered one of them. But here, once again, Joel says, he tells you and he tells me that God will pour out the Spirit even, he says, on all of those slaves who were many times of pagan religions. They were foreigners in a land. Yet God chose to pour out His Spirit upon us all. You know, it reminds us today of all that's around us. We have people from everywhere in the whole world. I hear people say, well, you know, what are all those people doing in our country? Well, when did it become just ours? You know, there's so many things that people come and people share. People live here. People were born here that look different, act different, and talk different. They come from various places, and I know lots of times we pick at each other and we make fun and we do things like that. But you know, we have to be careful because sometimes we say things or do things in the midst of trying to be funny or in the midst of trying to make a joke or in the midst of sometimes not even thinking about what we are saying. And we say something that hurts someone. And we say something as I was taught that was a little out of school. In other words, you need to keep your mouth shut. I've been told to keep my mouth shut before by folks who have gone on to glory. I've probably been told by some of y'all to shut up a time or two. I don't know. But in the kingdom of God, creation is restored to God's will, and God says it is very good. You see, the Spirit that He poured out upon us, oh, he said it was very good. So that's Joel's time. But what about today? What about right now? Didn't Jesus say something about God's kingdom coming here and now? What are the signs that you and I look for today? You see, God's kingdom is present today whenever the hungry are fed, whenever abundance is shared, wherever God is praised for providing. You see, God's kingdom in present day, wherever those who have known shame are healed and restored. That could be victims of sexual or physical abuse. That could be children who have been bullied and put down. It could be repentant thieves. God's footprints are seen in our society. When we do something, when we make a stand, when we stand up for an injustice, when we try to make something right, when we just put something in its place. Wherever outcasts are embraced, conflicts are reconciled, faith in light of crisis is sustained. or pain and suffering are endured with hope. You see, God walks with us. God's kingdom is present today, people. It is present today wherever our children lead us in renewing our world. Wherever our elders look to the future with hope. And wherever men and women dwell and work as equals. And wherever distinctions of class, race, religion, gender, or sexual orientation draw no lines in comparison and caring. You see, wherever God's kingdom is present, God is in the process of beginning again and again and again and again. And wherever these things happen, God says that it is very good. Let us pray.